community, and we all want to be part of healthy communities, but none of us wants to make the requisite sacrifices for community to flourish. In today's episode, we're gonna discuss the question, how should we think through contributing to a healthy school community? This is Monty Knetter, and today I am joined here with
Kim Nielsen
and Katie Tuck.
All right, so I'll start us off. I think one of the biggest hindrances to community is a consumeristic mentality. There's just a lot that money can't buy. So for example, you can buy tasty food, but you can't buy a good meal, because a good meal requires an environment. It requires good company and good conversation and things like that, and you can't buy those with money. You can buy good test scores for your children, right? At least to some degree. Buy a tutor or buy prep programs. But you can't buy a good school, right? In order to have a good school, you need to play a part in that. It's not just something you can go and consume like you can consume a fast food burger and fries.
Yeah, I agree. And I think as Karis has grown and gotten larger, as with any organization, the temptation is to have more of the consumeristic mindset. You know, early on, when you don't have that many people, there's really not much to consume even. And you can't just kind of sit in the background of community because everybody knows everybody. But I think as we've gotten larger, I think that is more of a temptation of, instead of how do I take part, how do I be a blessing? And some of it's not like intentional, mm-hmm. but maybe feeling you don't have anything to give or you just don't know where you're going to fit. And we can all slide into that mentality because that's kind of an American, I mean, that is the American culture that we live in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And especially in America now, I think there's a real need and it feels like a real hole, like an emptiness or a loneliness. People want to be a part of a community. Mm-hmm. They want to be a part of something bigger, and it's a hard thing to do, but as believers, right, like we're first part of our local church, and that's enormous, so like feeding into that. But then another, you know, big part of a great thing to be involved in is, like Monty was saying, just being a part of our school, and really we have the same mission. And so as we work side by side, we will have to link arms. It's not, like you said, we can't just be consumers and sit back and do it. We do have to link arms to sharpen one another. And we need all sorts of different people. Mm-hmm. Not everybody has the same gifts. There's going to be some weaker, some stronger, some leaders, some behind the scenes, some just encouragers, some people who are, you know, doing the work of, you know, sometime we'll probably need somebody to sweep floors, or we need people to clean desks. You know, I think that we also, the other thing in America is like we can sort of, well, not just America, I think we as humans can elevate a certain type of person in a community, or just certain type of human being because they're more upfront or it seems more glamorous or whatever, but we need all sorts. It's like the church needs the body, right? We need hands, we need feet, we need noses, we need toes, we need, you know, we need all sorts of people. And without that part of the body, we just are not going to flourish like we could. So so I think on the outset, I just want to say we all want to be a part of a community, and we need you to be a part of our community. No matter what you do, you don't, you know, whether it's behind the scenes or up front, you know, we need people. So we need people to not be just consumers of our community. We need people to be a part of it. I think that's where the blessing comes.
Yeah. Well, I too think, like, I mean, I just, if you're listening to this and you are involved in the Karis community already, like, this is what our family talks about the most with our school. That yes, we love obviously the structure and the style of learning, and we love the curriculum, but really what has produced the most growth in us and in my kids and in myself has been because of this community. Mm-hmm. And those conversations that happen before school and after school and during class. I think of the number of times that my kids have even talked with teachers about something like not related to what they're studying, and that has impacted them greatly. Yeah. Or I've talked to another parent or co-teacher, and it's just, right, that it fuels you to keep going and to persevere or grow in a specific way that you maybe didn't even know you needed to grow. And so it's like, that's the piece that you're saying, like, you can't buy, you can't necessarily detail it out in a structural plan either, but that's the beauty of our Caris community, and we definitely want to grow in that and continue to see God create a deep community that loves one another well and that inspires one another, encourages one another. I would say too, some of my most meaningful conversations have been from a parent who just like, hey, I was just thinking of you. Mm-hmm. I want to encourage you in this, or I noticed this about the school or about curriculum and I really appreciated this, or this was hard to walk through with my student, but now I see the growth. So part of the community doesn't even mean that you have a, like you were saying, a specific role, or you have to be a teacher or an admin or a student. But I think even that role of, I'm going to use my words to encourage, to uplift, to help someone who's down or feels like giving up, that's what we need to make our community beautiful.
Yeah, and I think there's definitely a tension between freedom and having the type of relationships and community that we really want. So to you know, draw an example, a different type of example, if I go to the, you know, the market every day and I buy bananas from the same banana stand, as, you know, pretending we had a market and a banana stand, and the gentleman I buy them from, if he starts selling me bruised bananas, eventually I'm going to say, look, this relationship is over. You're not giving me good bananas. You're not giving me what, you know, I want. I'm giving you money. You're giving me bad bananas. I'm going somewhere else. And that's fine for an economic transaction. But that type of relationship is never going to, you know, give me the type of community and meet my emotional or relational needs like other types of relationships, mm-hmm. right? Contrast that with something like marriage, where if I'm in marriage and I feel like I'm giving what I ought to give and not receiving back, it doesn't really matter. The community isn't broken. The relationship isn't broken. It's a covenant. And so we stick through, right? Because it has a, so it can be more challenging at times, but it's also far, far, far more rich than mm-hmm. buying bananas from somebody and breaking it off when you don't get the bananas you wanted. And again, just as Westerners or as Americans or as modern people, we're prone to think of all of our relationships in terms of that economic, like, look, my wife isn't meeting my needs, my husband's not meeting my needs, I'm going to divorce, right? My church isn't meeting my immediately felt needs, I'm going to go somewhere else. Or I'll go, what a lot of people do is, I'll go to this church sometimes and that church sometimes, or this church for one part of the service and that church for another part of the service, especially now with the online streaming stuff, like I'll click on this one for worship and that one for the sermon and that, you know, I'll go to that. Whatever fellowship over here, that's really unhealthy. You're treating people like parts of a buffet where you just take mm-hmm. and pull from people what you want, and you're not connected. You're not in this give and take, this back and forth with them where real growth happens.
I think that's part of why missional community, a community mm-hmm. with like a common mission, is so beautiful, because we are messy humans. We are sinners, and that's how we function, and that's where the grace and love of Christ shines even brighter within those messy relationships and the messiness of community. And he designed it that way, you know, he made it so that we live according to the gospel, where we all need Christ, we all need his blood to cover us, and we are all going to sin against one another. I think that just trickles down to so many things I'm thinking of in like individual relationships. And, but I think if we're all looking at one another as, you know, fellow believers who all are sinners and need Christ, it just gives a lot of freedom to give yourself to community, to be encouraged, to be an encourager, to not hold bitterness, to not compare ourselves with other. We were created uniquely, and kind of like we said before, we need all different kinds of people, but every single one of those kinds of people are messy, and we're all in need of his help.
There's a proverb where it says, I can't remember the reference, but
where
it
says, oxen.
Where the oxen, I say this to you, and it's like, where there is no oxen, the manger is clean, right? Yeah. So like,
but by the strength of the oxen,
yeah, do you remember the rest?
Yeah, where there are no oxen, the manger is clean, but by the strength of the ox comes a bountiful harvest or something.
Yes.
I'll look it up, but I say this about my home. Do you know this? About my children.
Yes.
This is what my husband says to me. He's like, when the house is messy, he's like, yes, but honey, if the manger was clean, we'd have not beautiful oxen with this
right.
bountiful harvest of children. But it's the same
and
with community like you said.
It's the same thing
yeah.
of like, when you're involved with people, if you're involved at a certain level, it will get messy.
Mm-hmm.
That's part, but there's fruit that comes, right? We need the manure for the fruit
yeah,
to come.
Right.
And
you and your gardening.
Yeah.
cultivate.
You cultivate. But I think the other versage is like, as iron sharpens iron, right? So one man sharpens another, and we can put that on a neat little Christian-y kind of bookmark or something like that. And if you have one, I don't mean to offend. It's great.
Good reminder.
It's a good reminder. But like,
you're not gonna like the sweater I just crocheted for you.
Oh, good. I love crocheted sweaters. But like, I remember, you know, when I was first married to my husband, it was like those first couple of years we were like, we're like sharpening one another, but it were like sandpaper, right?
Yeah.
So it's like we're sanding each other off, but that's not always an enjoyable process when you're a close community. We just talked about this with a couple of friends, that like this, right, to grow this relation deeper, there was conflict, but it's like that's a good sign because we're all growing and changing and we're willing to do that in community together. And that's where the beauty comes from, even though that's hard work. And it took work to work through that conflict. And it's risky.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the thing about community, is like, it is risky. You risk putting yourself out there and getting hurt or being misunderstood or miscommunicating or feeling insecure, not getting approval, and then having to deal with your own fear of man issues. And so it stirs up things in our hearts, but it's like, right, that's what's worth it. That's where the growth comes in. And I love that my children have gotten to see both their peers and adults in our community doing that. And so, I mean, I love seeing that too, but again, I think that it has been modeled for them, and I do see them doing that together.
Yeah, I think one of our difficulties is we think we can have everything every which way, right? At the beginning, I talked about having both the freedom, right, to come and go in a relationship and the deepness of a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of it's just because we've been shaped by the media we consume. I mean, think of a sitcom. In a 20-minute sitcom, well, with commercials, 30 minutes, right? A problem is introduced, it's developed, and it's resolved in that time frame. And so a lot of people think that reality is just more simplistic than it is. And so we think we can, you know, have our cake and eat it, too. We think we can have, you know, have it all, right, as they say. But you can't, right? You know, you can't be a person that goes off to work and then comes home and cooks, you know, healthy meals from scratch, and exercises every day, and has a vibrant group of friends, and reads to your kids daily, and is committed and involved in the local church, and knows and serves their neighbors, and does laundry and dishes and vacuuming, and goes on date nights, you know, with your spouse regularly, is educating your kids academically, physically, and spiritually, and continues to be a lifelong learner, all while keeping up with the news and being an informed citizen. I mean, you can't do everything. And so you need to prioritize. You need to think like, what in your life, what really matters? What do I really want to give my waking hours to? And I think the same thing, you know, is true with a community, right? No community is going to have everything until we get to God's community in heaven. And so as you're thinking through communities you're going to be involved with, whether it's a church or a group of friends or a school, you have to, I think, ask yourself the question, what's most important to me? And a lot of times those are going to be intangible. Like Kim was saying earlier, I guess when I look at her and point at her, you guys can't see that. But so that's the question I want to ask you guys. When you think about being part of a community, especially a school community, What are the things that you prioritize? What are kind of non-essential, non-negotiable things for you?
That's a good question. I think Katie's nodding at me too. We're doing a lot of non-verbal that you can't see. I think it's changes depending on what stage you're in too, right? So now that I'm an elder woman and I have older kids, right, it's change of what I can be part of and how I can participate in the community versus when my kids were little. So right, even my Tuesdays and Thursdays are very different. I am now taxi mom primarily on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I'm helping like with projects and coaching and, oh, you forgot this material, I'll go grab that material, you know, instead of like sitting down and like doing each lesson with my children, right? So now I have more opportunity to like check in with Katie, how's your day going, check in with another mom, or like if we get together, like we can talk about struggles that we have maybe in longer increments than when my kids were little and I was actually, you know, co-teaching during those days all day. Mm-hmm. So I think what you look for in community, you do have to think like, what are my priorities? So I would say, you know, my church community has to be above my school community. Like I have to be able to participate in that. Mm-hmm. I have to be able to participate well with my husband and my children. Mm-hmm. So again, we've chosen Caris because that's something we can all do together. So I can be in their school community and involved in their lives and in their friends' lives. And I also know their friends' parents. And so I think, you know, there's a lot of people in this community that I would love to spend time with. For me, I feel like I have had to prioritize, like, okay, here's my kids, here's my kids' friends, and then their families kind of have become almost a unique priority within that community. And then if I have time, I can keep going outside of that. I don't know if that's what you're asking, but...
That was a good answer, either way.
Yeah, I would say we would agree with the same thing. Like, my church community is important. So when I look for a school, I would say it has to be a gospel-centered school. And that's what, you know, you'd say too.
That kind of blends together.
It blends together. Mm-hmm. And it really, I've been thinking about this when you wanted to talk about community, just the missional community of Caris. And I thought about our mission, you know, like preparing students for a lifelong pursuit of learning through classical methodology and joyful discovery, developing depth of character, wisdom, and a desire to engage their world for the glory of God. the glory of God. And I think that is really important because if people are agreeing with the mission, which everybody does, you know, we sign off on that, we agree with the mission, that's what we're linking arms to do that. And then... So I think that's really important, and like Kim was saying, you know, it has to allow me to prioritize my family too, my church first, and my family, and those are hard things to do these days, right? Like especially when you're involved in the school or involved in other things too. I think that's really important to do. So I need to be able to do that, and then just having sort of the things that we love about the school, the communication with the teachers who have the same mission that we do, knowing that they will sharpen my kids in different ways, like, you know, when my kids go to your house or whatever, they will be sharpened in different ways, or in Mr. Hoffman's class or Mrs. Zempel's class or Mrs. Hobart's class, you know, any of these classes where I know these teachers have gifts that I don't have, but their mission is the same as mine. Number one, gospel-centered. Number two, you know, they agree with the mission of the school, which we agree with. And so I know I'm going to be sharpened by those. I know my kids are going to be sharpened by those. And there's going to be, again, like messiness within there. I really haven't really encountered much of that, thank Lord, but there can be, right? Like, mm-hmm. We're just sinful creatures, so there's going to be messiness within that over the years or in the coming years. But if our goals are the same, then we're going to be able to work through those things.
I think as you're talking, I'm thinking, yeah, what have been those parts of community that have been like such a huge blessing? And it is like being able to talk with teachers or whoever's interacting with my kids and being able to hear and kind of, I mean, this is the partnership part, right? Of like, Okay, I'm going to say, you know, we have this particular struggle with one of my kids or one of my students being able to go to a teacher or another parent and talk through that and get ideas, or what are you seeing? What have you tried? And in that, I think, right, that requires humility. So I think in any deep relationship or deep community, like when we're where that's been beautiful and gone really well is when we're both sides are have humility, yeah, and are willing to talk about it honestly. And then I think with that too, like when I think of the other maybe parents in the community, I think what I've really appreciated is, again, people who will sharpen me, who, yeah, mm-hmm, it's a protection to have around me, to have people who will speak truth into my life, even if it's hard to hear. Yeah. You know, Katie and I've talked through lots of things. Actually, Monty and I have as well, of, mm-hmm, working through, you know, working closely together. It's a unique thing for, like, a former headmaster to work with the current headmaster, you know, mm-hmm, and have it be this really beautiful relationship. Mm-hmm. And so, but that's taken a lot of communication and a lot of trust. And so I think in community, being able to be vulnerable, be humble, and seek out people that will sharpen you and that you can sharpen and encourage, but also, you know, sometimes Katie and I, our encouragement has been like, I feel protected when you say, oh, maybe I noticed this, or I can ask you, and you're honestly going to give me feedback, whether it's curriculum stuff or parenting, how we're, I'm co-teaching, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would say, like, within that, and I feel like I keep saying this, there's just the messiness that happens with relationships. It's so easy these days to not, like, to kind of let go of some of the longevity with not only individual relationships, but community relationships too, because you feel threatened or somebody else is threatening or they're just really frustrating or annoying. Like, mm-hmm, we're just all going to be, I'm a really annoying person, really. Like, but if I can, but what? If I can have, I can, I really,
like,
I mean,
the least
just, like,
true statement of all time.
Well, not just, I'm sure.
Maybe not of all time.
There's a lot of people who could be listening to this who probably aren't maybe nodding their heads right now. No, yeah, I don't mean like that.
Let me introduce you to some people that will take that crown from you, Katie.
but really, like, I'm messy. Everybody's messy. And we're just going to have to function within that and be able to move forward if you really want a deep, true relationship. The deep relationships I have, whether it's community, like in a big community, or individual relationships, people are going to have to push past my mess, you know, yeah, and I have to do that too, and just trust that falls. I mean, we're both like seeking Christ, and exactly what you said, Kim, it's like the humility. I mean, the way you and Monty are able to work together, you both have different gifts and you're both humble and able to work together, and I think it's made this school like much richer and fuller, and will continue to, because we have the benefit of both of you working together, and it's really fun to work with you and see you do that and see our school be sharpened. I think it's a great metaphor for relationships and community, and not that it's a metaphor, it's literal, but you know what I mean. But I do think, yeah, working through that stuff it's just gonna have to keep happening.
I might be derailing us, so hopefully this won't, but I'm gonna try to tell this in a quick story. I think it's such a good example of seeing this in our students' lives. You know, sometimes students get together outside of school. And all of our families kind of intertwine and mix. And so there was an instance where one of my kids got invited to something, and some other kids in his/her grade, mm-hmm, came. This is why it's going to take a while. But, you know, so other families brought other siblings along, but one of my other kids didn't get invited. And so it was just kind of, it had happened a couple of times, and it just hurt. And so we, you know, what as parents, what do we need to do? And I said, okay, well, you need to tell them. I don't think they did this on purpose. So we're going to assume the best of those in our community. Okay, I'm not going to assume the worst or assume that something was purposeful, that has hurt me. And then I need to go and actually say, hey, this did hurt me. You might not have meant this, but I, you know. And so my son or daughter did this. And again, this was beautiful community, is right away from two of our logic or rhetoric students, right? The response was like, of course, back. Oh, we didn't mean, you know, like this wasn't intentional. But it went beyond that. It was like, we want to do this face to face. Okay. So I just thought, what a great model for community of that response. One, risking yourself to say, this did hurt me. Right, you put yourself out there. And then two, the response was not defensive, but just like, how can we affirm? How can we love? How can we bless? And it wasn't just done over text, but they texted and then they said, let's get together face to face. And this was, it was just such a beautiful example of, I think we could all really grow in doing that with one another in our community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's good.
Yeah, and that's good.
Yeah. I think it's stuff like that without, you know, moving forward can also cause bitterness to grow. And yeah. So, yeah, really cutting those roots out. Yeah, either choosing to ignore it and be like, well, you'll be fine, you know, move forward and yeah. We'll just deal, or you deal with it and you cut it out. I think that's really important.
And I would say, again, right, that's from having years. Those students have, I love being part of other families, right? I'm getting the blessing of other families who have loved and taught their children biblical, like, confrontation and conflict and how to love one another and how to do it face to face. So it's like that's the fruit of living in a community and doing it for a length of time. And I know they've talked about that in class as well. And so again, that's kind of like just, it was a good example to me of it's doing a hard thing, but having it really be fruitful and a blessing.
Yeah, it's so countercultural right now. I mean, in our cancel culture, it's like, oh, when you went to the polls, you filled in an oval I don't like. Like, you're out of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's just really toxic, right? I think what we're seeing around us in the culture at large and how we're letting secondary or tertiary things divide us. Mm-hmm. And so if we can actually work through, like, real conflict that hurts, not just, like, you know, you were one of 150 million people that voted for a person I don't like, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a way that only potentially hurts me in some abstract way down the road. Like, but like, no, you left me out and you really hurt me. If we can work through that, I mean, what a witness that is to other people.
Yeah. And I think in a certain community, like our community, a gospel-centered community, right? Like, I think the things that we're trusting in and putting our ultimate worth and identity in, like we've talked about before, is huge, because our kids are going to watch us do that, like delighting in Christ, delighting in Him to, you know, be our identity, and they're going to look to Him as well. And then it's not going to be all these other relationships that, you know, throw us off track or, I don't know, I feel like that does happen a lot, the cancel culture, of the like, that person's toxic, so I'm cutting them out, or this, you know, this person disagrees with me, so I'm going to cut them out.
You, like, define them because of one thing,
yes.
Instead of like, no, this is a whole, I mean, we talk about that for our children, this is a whole child.
Right.
So they're different, they're unique, that it's one issue doesn't, like, define someone.
Right.
I can't just cut it off because we don't agree over one thing.
And I think we're less offended when our identity isn't in those things. Mm-hmm. For our own selves. Like, when we're, you know, when we're looking to Him to be our identity and find our security in Him, instead of what other people say or other people being offended with us or other relationships, right? Like, other people are going to look at that and this bitterness, this judgment, like, we're just going to move on. And I think it can really derail us when we're looking to the, you know, we're trying to run forward and move forward with our lives. And somebody called it a sidelong glance. It's like looking over to see what this other person's doing. We want to compare ourselves with to him or her. It's like, you just smash and burn. I need to be an example for my kids. We need to be an example to kids to look to Christ for identity, and then they will too. And then all these other things, they are really important to do in community, but that's not their identity. You know, I think I want our kids to be humble and look to Him and just be delighted in Him, to be delighted with each other, and not all these tiny little things that can divide us. It's just, it's sad and distracting, and it really takes away from our happiness.
Yeah, amen. Well, how about this? Why don't we end with just sharing thoughts on what we can do to invest in the CARES community, or how we can help it to flourish. So I'll start. I'll give you guys a second to think. So as you know, as you guys were saying, right, it's the people that make the community. And you know, when it comes to education, like, look, our kids can read books at home if they want to, or they could go to a different school and read the same books. Or they go to the library, right? You know, there's more books in there than they could read in a lifetime. But
in a different year, they could go to the library.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's true. Now they can't go anywhere near the library. Yeah.
but like, what we're trying to give them is not just knowledge. It's not just facts. It's not just information, right? Yeah. I think the Greek word I'm reading, our liberal arts tradition, right, that reading is important. But it's a paideia, I believe, is how you say it in Greek. Okay, I'm getting some nods or maybe.
Paideia.
Okay. Paideia, right? A culture, right? We're trying to pass on a culture, and a culture is passed down by people, through people. Mm-hmm. And the people that do that in our community are our teachers. And look, teaching is really, really tough work. It's exhausting. My wife this year has been helping out. She does a half day on Fridays with the K-4 students, and she gets home and she's like, I'm dead. Like, how do you guys do this? Like, you know, in some schools 5 days a week, at ours 3 days a week, but full days, it's just emotionally, physically exhausting. And so encourage them. I think that's the you know, best thing you can do. Like, really easy. Like, you might, you know, again, think like, I don't have the right types of gifts. I don't know how to make community flourish. Like, encourage your teachers.
Yes.
Encourage them. Encourage them.
Yep.
Encourage them. They need it this year especially. Mm-hmm. I think more than other years, and that's something that anybody can do. So that's one thing I would encourage you to do is to encourage.
Yeah. That's great. I think of two, and again, probably going back to that. Examples, like, don't be quick to take offense, assume the best. And so if assume that I probably misunderstood something, maybe that's not what that person meant to say, or maybe that's not what that teacher meant to, you know, whatever it is, like, not to claim my rights or be quick to be on the defensive. But when you do have something, like, come with gentleness, come with humility, come with some encouragement, even if you have a rebuke to give. You can, you know, it's again, we shouldn't be surprised that I have sin, right? Mm-hmm. If I believe the gospel, I know I have a lot of sin. And so I shouldn't be surprised if someone's like, hey, I noticed this, right? Yeah, there's 1,000 times more things that you haven't noticed. Mm-hmm. So I don't need to be defensive, but at the same time, it's so helpful if somebody comes with, I'm coming alongside you. I'm trying to point something out or ask for a clarification instead of coming in an accusatory voice. And so again, we don't pay our teachers as much as they deserve. You know, they work really hard. Yeah. And our staff or whoever else is involved, even your other co-teachers, like, right? There's a lot of work and a lot of emotions. And again, our children are important to us. So it's weighty things. And so just come with gentleness. Come with, how do I encourage? How do I come alongside? Even if it's something that I maybe will lead or go walk through a conflict.
Mm. Yeah, that's good. I would say, no matter what you think your strengths are or weaknesses are, you have something that our community needs.
For sure.
So I would say, don't be hesitant to get involved. That could look a lot of ways. I know that there's a lot of our parents and our co-teachers who have a lot to do and are very busy and have a lot of little kids at home, or just have a busy life and a lot of things in life. But I think that there's always something you can do, whether it be, you know, something like an encouragement, or even, can I cut some things out for you for your teacher, you know, or can I grade some things for you one day? Or, I mean, it could be, I'm sure you guys have way more creative ideas to come up with contributing to a classroom or to our community, but we need you. I mean, we need everybody in this school. And it might look a different way than we even realize, but if you have an idea, do come and share that. We'd love to for people to use their gifts in a way that contributes to our community. So
yeah, even some courses have come about from
people true.
Like, oh, I want to use my gifts. Like, that was joyful discovery,
yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. It's like, we have all these parents that have different gifts, and they're like, how could we use the, you know, like, I want to be able to do this. And it's like, oh, we created a course so that we could do little things like that. And it might look different now, but running club was the same way. Like,
yeah.
we have some parents who love running, and I would love to just come and run with it, you know, in... And so I just, yeah. So I agree with Katie.
Yeah.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, I think it helps. Well, I mean, yeah, first off, like, this isn't to put any obligation on anybody. This isn't like some passive aggressive, like, we want to try to twist your arm into
no.
doing more at the school, right?
Right.
So, I don't know. Please don't hear it that way. Mm-hmm. But again, I think, like, yeah, because we know a lot of you are busy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the mentality that you have going into it will kind of change how you look at being involved. So how do I put this? So think about, like, church. Like, we all agree, like, and I agree too, that church should be the central community, a central commitment in your life. If church is just a piece of your life that you build, you know, that fits in, you're not going to be really involved or involved in a healthy way, right? If church is something that happens when, you know, you're not picnicking in the summer, or when hunting season isn't going on, or when you're not at your, you know, lake house that you like to go to 10, you know, weekends a year or whatever. You know, you're going to be, if that's the way you're looking at church, is that it's something secondary that fits into your life, then you're going to be kind of frustrated, you know, and you're not going to serve willingly or joyfully, right? Same thing with your kids. You guys that are listening to this have all probably experienced this. When you're young and you have kids and you try to fit your kids into your way of life, it's like your kids are a hindrance. They're annoying. You want to pull your hair out. They drive you crazy because they're getting in the way of what you want to do. But if you see your family as a central point and everything else that kind of comes in or fits in, then you can take joy in your kids and joy in those other things. And I think the same thing with school. If you see school as something that just kind of fits into, you know, 50 other things that are more important to your gonna hear this and be like, well, like, I don't have anything to give, I don't want to give anything, or you'll give and you'll give reluctantly, or you'll participate and drag your feet, and you just won't get anything out of it, and then it will confirm what you're already thinking, versus if you come in with the mentality like, look, this is a place where my kids are flourishing, this is a place I can contribute to, even if it's just like, again, encouraging, or just, I mean, honestly, pray. Like, if you're a mom with 100 kids at home and you're, you know, tired, right, just take 5 minutes and just send a note like, hey, you know, Mrs. Hobart, or hey, you know, Mrs. Nielsen, I said a prayer for you this morning.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, that, you wouldn't believe how encouraging that is to others.
Right.
Any final thoughts?
I think that was great.
Mm-hmm.
That was good.
Well, recommendations. We'll end our podcast like we do every podcast with recommendations. I'll start. I gotta give you guys a minute to think. This is music. This is a band. The Corner Room is the name of them, and they have set a number of passages in Scripture to music. Their first couple albums were from the Psalms, and then they have one from Isaiah, 53 or 54, right, the Suffering Servant passage, 1 Corinthians 13. Like, a lot of times, I feel like as Christians we have to choose between something that's good artistically and something that has a good message, and that can be kind of tough. But I think their music is aesthetically, you know, solid and sound and pleasing, and obviously they're just singing right out of Scripture, so it's great to have those lyrics going through your head. So The Corner Room is the name of that band.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like I have two. One's kind of, well, it's not silly, but it's kind of, can I have two? Am I allowed to have two? Okay. Well, one is, it's actually, I keep thinking about it because it's so delicious. A miel. I don't know if you've ever had a miel drink. It's,
Kitty, you're so far behind the times.
Well, no, I've had it for a while. I probably am behind the times. That's true. But I've been having them more, and they're so good right now. It's just honey cinnamon latte, but with oat milk. It's really good with oat milk.
I've not done it with oat milk.
So I would say, I know, I just read an article, and I'm sure you guys have all read articles about these local places that are shutting down, like restaurants that might not even make it through the cold winter to the spring. So I guess that's a recommend too. If you're going to go out, try to, you know, get a coffee at a local coffee shop, or, you know, take out at a local place, or, you know, whatever you can. I know that can be hard and people are tight right now, but Amiel is very good at Crescendo or Barrique's or, you know, these great places. So that's one. The other one is, just because we were talking today, I went back over Dietrich Bonhoeffer's book, Life Together, and it's a good one on community. It's so good. I feel like I could read it every year and not, you know, not get enough out of it, but very, very good. So that's my other recommend.
I echo that. That's okay. A great one. Mm-hmm. I think, so I have broad and then I'll get more specific. So I think just reading things that are not written, I mean, we make our students do this, but read things that are not written by a modern author is really helpful. So like I've been doing Valley of Vision, which is written by Puritan, they're like Puritan prayers, and it's a collection of them, but I find just the language, one, I have to slow down because the language is different, and then two, just like it gets me outside of like the postmodern mindset that I don't even realize, like, I'm swimming in the Kool-Aid or whatever. I don't know, I just mixed a bunch of metaphors.
I get it.
I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, I'm swimming
and you're swimming in it. You're just all in the Kool-Aid. Okay. Read Puritan.
Okay. Anyway, that's been so rich. And then the other book that I feel like that kind of worked for me is it's Prayer by John Bunyan. Ooh. And I didn't realize he wrote it. I mean, I've never read anything other than Pilgrim's Progress by him. And it was just really rich. Again, it wasn't like the truths are different than what I had done, but I think the language and having a culture kind of outside of your own has made me think of things just in different lights.
Mm, that's good. Good reminder.
It's been good for my soul.
Mm-hmm.
So,
awesome. Excellent. Thank you all.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Merry Christmas. See you next time.